It's Wednesday, 11th of May. Welcome to episode 85 of Digital Outbox. Good evening. My name's Ian. I'm joined again by my trusty sidekick, Chris.
Hello. It's only been a week. It feels like
a week.
It feels like less than a week, actually.
This is the pressure we've been put under. You know, we take 3 weeks to do between other ones. It's like, get one out there. No, we just felt there's a lot happening.
There's tons going on.
And real life might have got in the way this weekend and next week. So
yes, it would have been a long time again had we not got it out tonight. So we are a little bit preemptive because I think there's another day of Google news sort of
coming
out. Well, maybe not. Are there three? I thought it was 3 days. Anyway, we'll come to that in a minute.
And Henry says hi. Henryson will be back on the show. Real life is getting in the way.
Yeah, but that's fair enough.
But he has taken measures to make sure he can get back on the podcast.
Taking measures.
That sounds quite serious.
Yes, it does.
First up, breaking news.
Breaking news.
Yep, I'm going to hand over to a Skype correspondent.
Can I have some beeps in the background, please? Microsoft has bought Skype in our ongoing Skype saga of it's trying to find a new home.
See, to be honest, it's only you that's got a Skype saga. There's nobody else.
And honestly, I don't care. As long as Skype continues to exist, I don't care either. But they've paid $8.5 billion.
That's five billion quid.
Huge amounts amazing. Of money. Basically, they're opening up their own division specifically for it. And they're going to roll it out throughout their whole kind of device lineup. So Windows and Xbox and Kinect. They've said they're going to keep it going, though, on all of the devices and platforms. So it doesn't sound like they're going to dilute it. What it does sound like to me is that they're going to have to find more and more revenue streams out of it because $8.5 billion is a lot to recover when you've only got 170 million, I think it's 170 million odd users.
Fair enough, I mean, Microsoft are going to expose the service to a lot more people now.
Yes.
So it will grow.
Now, you would normally expect Microsoft to create their own technology as a competitor. But I think they've had their own technology with things like MSN and stuff, and they've realised that Skype have just got the march, have got the momentum, and there's no way that their MSN Messenger and all those other are going to be, you know, are going to compete. So buy the name and keep it going, I think, is what their philosophy is.
Yeah, and what amazed me was obviously the price is high, but seemingly Google were also in bidding for it and had bid $4
billion. Wow.
So they were coming in at $4 billion. And so you think, did you overbuy by, say, $4 billion? Because if you'd come in at $4.5 billion, they would have probably said yes.
Yeah, was it a secret bidding process? I can't remember how much that, because it got sold to that consortium of the original buyers again after all that palaver we had before.
Do you know eBay made quite a big profit on this?
Well, it's not owned by eBay anymore, is it?
No, but remember eBay bought it for a fair amount of money and then couldn't do anything with it and then kind of sold it back. Seemingly it was like 80% sold back, and on this deal they're making money, so I think they end up quids in.
Well, good for them.
Good old anyway, eBay.
We kind of thought last time they might have already found a home, a secure home for it, but maybe now we have found its final resting place.
One little story today, seemingly Microsoft's confirmed there will be more adverts on the platform.
Right.
And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that just means in the client we're going to see adverts, or, you know, are we going to be doing a call and halfway through you're going to get a doo-doo-doo. And some of you are like, you too can like big beans.
that would not be good.
just imagine a business call. You're sitting there and it's like, you know, if you don't want adverts, you know, give us X dollars. If you want free calling, we are happy to do it, but you'll get adverts for baked beans.
they're going to have to get a lot more users, and those users are going to have to spend money somehow. So adverts is obviously how one of the reasons they're going to do it, or one of the ways they're going to do it. Anyway, should be good.
No, there's one last thought.
Oh, yeah?
I thought that the Mac interface couldn't get any worse on Skype. I've been proven wrong.
It's now going to have a Microsoft symbol on it.
Aye.
Maybe, in fact, maybe they can do something about the interface, because that, since this latest round of updates and stuff, since it got sold by eBay, actually it's got worse and worse. So
the Mac version, well, the, I mean, certainly see the 3-4-way video stuff, really nice. I thought that worked really well, apart from your machine crashes. But the but the interface is just like a disaster.
Yeah, they've lost their way. But then the PC version is lost their way.
It doesn't work.
It's getting more and more like, I mean, you have to work with it day in, day out to learn its foibles.
Yes.
And the PC version is almost the same now, so.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's not far off. It's still a little bit better, but not much. It's virtually the same now.
Right. Moving on. See if you don't like Google. I would
fast forward.
Yeah, go and download This Week in Tech, because the next half hour is all going to be about Google. I've split the notes into day one and day two of Google I/O, so it's a big developer conference.
So you're telling me there's no day three? I have no idea.
I have no idea either, because you're the Google fanboy.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay, well, let's just say it's 2 days. I'm pretty sure, yeah, you're probably right.
I know you're going to chuckle. I think there's 5 days of Google I/O, but I think it's just day one and two they do all the kind of big announcements on.
And then 3, 4, and 5 it's are like all breakout the sessions.
Yeah, where your geeks geek out and get T-shirts and go, whoop, whoop.
Just an excuse Google. To stay off work for a bit longer, innit?
Shall we do it?
Let's do it, because they've been telling us lots and lots and lots in what has been described as an exceptionally good couple of days of keynotes, basically.
No, I will apologise. There's no particular order to this, apart from how I read it. So,
well, how they were storied up, yeah.
So this broke before the first day actually started, YouTube Movies. So there was YouTube Movies has been around for quite a while, but the movies have kind of been a bit sucky. But they've now partnered with...
Oh, come on, they're more than sucky.
No,
they're the kind of movies you would never even watch in a million years.
You don't know what movies I watch.
Okay, fair enough.
But they've partnered with Sony, NBC, Universal and Warner, and there's now 3,000 full-length movies available to rent at standard industry pricing, which will be $3.99 for a new release, $2.99 for a library. A library? For
a library item, as in a bit.
Ah, right, okay. Now, that's dollars, and this is US only. And in fact, that's health warning against a lot of these things, most of it is US only.
But where US leads, we will follow eventually.
Do you think?
We might be about a year ahead of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But yeah, they're good. They're good tech stories, just to know what's going on anyway. But yes, so we haven't got movies unless you want to use proxies and stuff like that. But yes, they're single rentals. You don't get a subscription. So it's not like you love film. You actually just rent the one movie and you have the standard kind of 1 week to watch it. And once you've started, you've got about 24 hours to actually finish watching it. They did also say that most of the videos, although it's up to content providers, most of the videos are likely to be standard definition. So no high def stuff.
Yes. But certainly that's a move in the right direction. I think it's also going to be supporting Android as well. So I think if you're on Android, you'll be able to get these movies as well.
Yes, as long as you've got a connection that will support that. But it's certainly, you feel from these announcements, because we're going to come onto Google TV now, that everything's sort of tying itself together. So they have announced that Google TV is going to have an update, including they're going to put Honeycomb on it. And I guess it will have ice cream. Well, we'll come on the next one soon. And it's going to have apps, basically.
Google TV did have apps, but they were basically installed as you bought it. You couldn't actually go to a store and get more.
Yes, so app developers couldn't just sort of develop for it and then release them into the wild. It was a predefined fixed application.
Yes.
Framework.
Yes.
But no, I think it should reinvigorate it. It had a bad sort of press to start with.
Google TV's failed.
It failed because content's king, and content providers are keeping everything very, very close to their chest.
Yes.
Don't like Google. And basically, it looks like they've come to some deals. So we're seeing these YouTube movies and things like that. And also the applications should spark some interest in people, especially media companies, can actually start then releasing applications based around content they want to distribute.
It was a real shame because when it came out, and it was already question marks about the interface and the keyboards and all that to work it, but then all the kind of flash video and web-based video that it could access, the content provider just says no.
Yes, they hid it all away.
Yep. So Google TV update, and that's coming in a couple of months. You mentioned Ice Cream Sandwich, which bizarrely is the name for the next major release of Android.
I did. I think I mentioned this quite a while ago that it was going to be Ice Cream Sandwich, and everyone laughed at me, and I thought I'd got it wrong.
I don't think I did. I think you'll find I supported you in that okay. name.
But it is a ridiculous name. Well, why not just ice cream? Anyway,
I thought it was Ice Cream Sandwich because it was the kind of merger of the kind of different Android versions at the moment.
That certainly looks like what it is, doesn't it? It's basically they're going to roll it out across all your tablets. I think it's going to come to the TV, all your phones. So basically, it's the one operating system that brings everything they've been doing recently together for everything, which sounds like an impossible task, but it looks like they've done it.
Yes. Now, I'm looking, I tried to find release dates. All they're saying is this summer.
And it feels hot already.
that's just in your room.
It is at the moment, yeah. So it doesn't sound very long away anyway. Summer is certainly only a maximum of 2 months away. Basically, they've created a new application framework, which they haven't really detailed yet. But apparently that framework solves all the problems of cross-device coding, so all the different form factors that you have in all the devices that run Android. They've apparently figured out a way of solving that to make programming for it, I guess, easier. Sounds, again, impossible, yet sounds like they've done it.
Yes, and this will be the one that kind of unifies everything, as you've already said, which I think makes sense, because Honeycomb, I never understood, because they said Honeycomb wasn't really a branch, but it is. It's something totally different.
Yeah, I think it was a short-term requirement to have an operating system that worked on tablets that wasn't just a phone operating system. But it looks like they will merge those two branches together now into one. They've said it's going to look different as well, haven't they? It's going to have a new interface.
Well, they've said this is their biggest or the most ambitious release yet. So I mean, they're certainly not hanging back on the superlatives around it. And one of the things that was demoed just then, I've got to say, I've not seen this, and I really want to watch the keynote. And I know we've talked about watching keynotes before, and it's a bit sad, or it's like, oh. But seemingly the one they did yesterday outdid Apple. Seemed it was very slick and very well done. So I really want to watch it.
Yep, we should definitely watch it.
But one of the new parts of Ice Cream Sandwich is an OpenGL face tracking. So AutoPan's based in voice detection, focusing a crop view on whoever is talking, which just sounds mental.
It does sound mental. It sounds good. Yeah. So I want to see that. Hearing you, looking at you, finding the face, and then looking who's moving
and going,
their mouth.
Christ, that's ugly.
Yeah, it pans away again in disgust.
Like, ah, why have I cropped in on him?
But it makes a decision based on what your face looks like as to how close it gets in. It doesn't. That's a lie.
Staying with Android, that one, and I guess it's an easy jibe to make about Android, in that you could buy a phone and 2 weeks later it's out of date because somebody else got one out, and there seems to be almost a perceived issue around how quickly software updates get rolled out to devices.
There's a huge issue around it, as far as if you haven't got the right device, or your device manufacturer doesn't want to update to new software,
or your device manufacturer's got their own custom front end on it, so it can't just take the vanilla Google and say roll it out. It's got to be I need X months of development.
So it's not a perceived issue; it is an issue. Yeah, it's not Google's issue. But
yeah, I guess what I was more meaning to say is I don't know how big an issue it is. You know, so see for us that are really concerned about this stuff, it's an issue. You know, if I want an update or you want the update, you kind of want it now.
Yeah, and for general users, that's why I've got the phone I've got. Yeah, because I want those updates. Had I jumped in with Droid, though, I might be, because I would have been one of those users wanting those, and I haven't. And Droid's been slow to update as well. So, but anyway, they've got an agreement, or at least they've started an agreement. It's almost like one of those non-binding things that probably won't lead to anything.
it's a strange one. They've guaranteed that if you buy a handset, and as long as it's compatible, so there's that little caveat in there, that the next 18 months of software updates will be available for that handset. But what it doesn't guarantee is when they'll be released.
No. So it could be 18 months of software, but your phone doesn't get it for the next 2 years.
Yeah. I think it's early days for that one. I think they know there's an issue. They know there's an undercurrent of people frustrated. And another thing is, if you look at the developer websites, you can see, you know, iOS, the updates tend to, you know, get put out onto phones very quickly and get accepted very quickly. And you can see the comparison with the Android ones. It's very fragmented, which I guess is an issue for a developer.
It's probably an issue. Yeah, it is an issue for developers. But it's what you've got to understand is that in each individual manufacturer of a device is the equivalent of Apple. People sort of take the Android platform as being the equivalent of Apple, but it's not. So if you take the Samsung S, which I've got, they update straight away.
Yes.
So it's exactly the same. But
you sounded so smug when you said that.
Of course, I know. It's good. I love it. I love logging onto my phone and it says, "Oh, you've got new that."
Yeah, smug git.
Anyway, so yes, but they're trying to solve a problem which is not entirely of their making. In fact, it's not really of their making at all. But at least they're doing something about it, which I think is very important for them.
Yes. I think they have to.
Yes, I don't think they got a choice.
Now, last couple of what I think this is a quickie. Android at Home. So they've announced a framework. So basically a set of protocols for controlling light switches, alarm clocks, other home appliances through an Android device. So they're looking at, I guess, that kind of home automation, remote controls.
How very mid-90s Microsoft of them.
And this was the really cheap jibe that I did see yesterday, you know, of some of the announcements they did yesterday, it felt like a Microsoft keynote from, you know, 2005.
But it is all those we've said since that we liked Microsoft's vision because at least they had one, whereas they don't have one now. So I guess it's just them, they've taken the reins, they've taken that vision on, and in fact, knowing Google, they'll make it work.
Absolutely. So that's a to come. They've announced the framework, but it's the end of the year before we'll start seeing any products.
Yeah, because it's got to get into the hardware before you can start using the software with it.
Yep. And another one announced was Google Music. So this has been talked about, this was talked about last year's keynote, but they've now finally launched it.
Yes, it's been hinted at, talked about, rumoured and all those things, but they have actually now launched it. Well, they've launched a beta, a closed beta at that.
It is a closed beta, of course. I was going to say it's not, you just apply, but yeah. So you can go to the website and apply to join, and then you'll get an invite, and you only get invites from Google. I've seen today that there's a lot of spammers have jumped on this already and starting to email out, here's your Google Music invite. But it's invite only. It's free for a limited time. And it's US
only. I don't understand what that means, free for a limited time.
Well, so I'm guessing I guess at some point they'll say, for this amount of storage on the cloud, you need to pay X.
Yes, because that's an important thing, is that this service comes with a cloud directory, which is where your bought music gets put. I think you can put your own music in it as well. I might be talking out of sync here. But certainly you can sync your music to your devices from that cloud directory. So wherever you go, your music should be able to follow you.
Yes. And not just the music, but playlists. You can edit your track info and play counts. It does sound like they've got a really good solution for, you know, an iTunes-y, you know, front end to your cloud music.
Yeah, so it's kind of iTunes in the cloud, because iTunes does all that, but via your PC as the mother rather than as a cloud drive, I guess.
Yes. I don't think there's too much more. There's two aspects. At a Q&A afterwards, Google confirmed that they'll remove any music if it's subject to a copyright claim using the same technologies that they do for YouTube. So I don't know how... I guess that means if a music company knows a file has a certain signature, they could ask for it to be removed. You know, so if I rip something and put it on a torrent site, that will have a certain, you know, a certain MD5 hash or whatever to say, yeah, I want that file removed.
I guess it's maybe it's saying, you know, if that label hasn't signed up to Google service, then you can't have the music on it. I don't know. I guess we'll find that out. I don't know. Basically, could be. That's good tech journalism.
Yeah, exactly. We know what we're talking about. And another thing to note is that Google did try and get deals in place for the music industry, but they've went the Amazon route and said, sod it, we can't get the deals. And I guess the danger is it looks like Apple has those deals. So it'll be interesting to see when they finally launch their version of this, how it differs from Amazon and Google.
Yes.
Well. And that's everything for day one, apart from at the end of the keynote, as per usual with Google, they always give away a device. So yesterday they gave away 5,000 Galaxy Tab 10.1s.
It's just the best, the cheapest way you can get hold of a, you know, new device.
Yeah, we should have went.
Buying your cheap ticket to
We should just went.
The tickets went in about 10 minutes though, didn't they? Because people know that it's the cheapest way to get a big device, we did say.
Well, it's probably the worst thing is it's probably all eBay hawkers that have went this year.
Yes.
Half of them aren't developers at all. Do you want to come to these developer sessions? What for? I'm putting my tab up on eBay, and it's a limited edition tab as well.
It is. It's a bit of a stopgap, I think. It sounds like a nice device, but I think the phone last year was probably a bit more exciting. Maybe because people weren't expecting it as much.
Oh, no, I think people were expecting it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I listened to the This Week in Google podcast, and there was definitely an expectation that we're going to get a tablet this year, surely. Because last year we got two phones. and they're desperate to get developers on tablets.
Yes, of course.
That's the easy point that all the Apple fanboys make. It's like, oh, you've got 16 apps.
Yeah, and that'll do it.
Yeah, well, they've probably doubled the sales of Galaxy Tab. Anyway.
You're doing them a misservice.
Okay.
So on to day two. Let's Trebled. Do day two.
Cheap James, that is. Day two. So yesterday was all Android. Today is all Chrome.
Yes.
Chrome browser was up first. So they've went from 70 to 160 million users. They're planning for major improvements over the next few months. So usual stuff, you know, more developer APIs, faster built-in speech, so you'll be able to at your browser just talk to your browser and say I want to search for whatever, which is great. But they also expect to use Chrome to translate speech in real time. So this is getting really clever stuff. This is future.
It's the technologies that we have in our phones, I guess. They've kind of done listening on phones, so that having APIs actually in the browser, which is pretty amazing.
Yes.
Computer, go to the BBC website.
Well, I've still got that Star Trek movie when it's like he's trying to talk to the computer and he's picking up the mouse and talking into it. Oh, old Scotty. And I think that's class. I really do. And also WebGL support, so the Angry Birds in Chrome at 60 frames per second. Now, I know Angry Birds isn't a first-person shooter, but that's still quite impressive for a browser without anything else there.
60 frames a second, there's quite a lot of physics. There's only a basic physics engine, but it's enough going on in the background to make something think about it, I'm sure. In-browser games is without, you know... Well, I guess WebGL will offer a degree of 3D-ness as well, if you want it. I don't know that for sure, but it sounds like
we're getting ropier and ropier tonight.
Yeah,
we're just.
Yeah. It's quite late.
I'm tempted just to make something up soon. No deal.
So we can in WebGL we can run Crysis at 30 frames per second.
Well, you see, I was boldly going to say we could run Minecraft at like 10 frames per second, but I bet you wouldn't even get one frame per second.
Even the most supercomputer cannot run Minecraft that quick.
Is at this point I tell people I've bought an iMac and it's just for Minecraft. No, we'll keep that for later. So Google Web Store, the Chrome Web Store, it's been out for a few months now.
Yes.
They've seen 17 million app installs. Which
is tons.
It's tons, but there's 170 million users.
Yeah, okay. But I didn't... It's not been very well advertised.
No.
You have to sort of dig it out, and then most of the applications are actually sort of...
But that means each user's installed 0.1 of an app.
Most of them are corporate-based. But I think they wouldn't be too disappointed with that.
I don't know. Numbers are difficult, aren't they?
Yeah, of course. And I mean, if 70 million apps were all paid for apps or maybe subscription-based apps, then that looks quite a lot more healthy.
Yes. But also, I don't know about you, I installed them and hardly ever used them.
I looked around and didn't find any apps that were particularly what I wanted, so that's probably another reason.
It's the same even when Apple talk about their numbers and figures, and you're like, yeah, but you've got so many millions of users, you know, how many people, you hear these stories that, you know, somebody's got their iPhone and they've downloaded one app and it's Yelp and that's it.
You're saying, well, 17 million doesn't sound a lot. I'm saying if someone sells 17 million of anything, it's a lot.
Well, but how many of these were free?
Yeah, okay, I don't know.
Then that's the 16.9 could be free.
Yes, you're right.
I just don't know. It's hard to quantify. There was some figures in the Mac App Store through the week. There was a guy, he was number 5 or 6 in the developer Mac App Store, developer tables in the Mac App Store. And he thought, oh, look at this, I'm in the money. And after 4 days, he had enough to buy a pizza. So it's...
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm like, oh, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, we're so used to seeing these massive numbers, which really don't mean anything to us.
But a couple of big numbers coming up. So So the Chrome Web Store is kind of limited in its rollout just now. And that's maybe something to point out. I'm poo-pooing this and saying it's 0.1 of an app, but it's not out to all the users around the world. But from now on, it will be. So it's going international, and it will support 41 languages.
As soon as they start getting, you know, games in there, you'll see that kicking off.
the biggest number, this I think this is huge. So for developers, there'll be a 5% flat fee to use for apps in the Chrome store, and that means developers keep 95%.
That's a big difference, basically.
I think that's going to attract people to the platform. And obviously, today they've announced Angry Birds is going to be available in the store, and it'll run within the browser. And they've developed special levels that are just for Chrome only. So that's, you know,
but basically because they know that nearly everyone has Angry Birds already on something or other. So they had to do something a bit different. I think once they start getting games in the browsers and stuff, and it's, you know, the
Minecraft
apps on offer, and well, who knows what's going to go in there? The apps on offer is, you know, a more consumer based rather than business based. I think you'll see this thing kick off.
Yes. Chromebook. Now,
yes.
I can't remember when Chrome when they first showed Chrome that test laptop that they brought out. Is it about six months?
I think it's at least 6 months, if not a little bit longer. It could even be just under a year that we... No, it's not that long. Okay, yeah, well, let's give it 6 months. It sounds about right.
So they've announced today that the first Chromebook... So this is the new name for it, because I think at the time it got a... Was it a CR48 or something they called it? It was an Element.
Some really stupid
It was
name.
CR48. I've just seen it further down the notes.
There you go.
I shouldn't know that.
No, you shouldn't. That's ridiculous.
That's random. But it's now called the Chromebook. And from June 15th in the US, and this is actually one of the ones that is applicable to the UK.
Yeah, it's a worldwide launch.
So from the UK as well, we'll be able to buy two different platforms or two different laptops, a Samsung or an Acer. And they'll have, the Samsung's got a 12-inch screen with 8-hour battery, the Acer's 11-inch screen with a 6.5-hour battery.
So netbook-type proportions?
And netbook-type prices, $429 for the Wi-Fi version, $499 for the 3G version. Yep. And the Acer starting at $349. So I think that's what most people expected.
That's even maybe a bit less. Well, I don't know, maybe a bit less than netbook. I mean, especially as the specification's probably going to be a bit higher than netbook. It's more like a cut-down PC rather than a really chopped-down bare bones.
Yeah, and I think that's fair enough, because when you look at the, and I mean, Google, I've got their website up and running, so you've got your google.com/Chromebook. You know, it's this thing about instant web. So Chromebooks boot in 8 seconds and resume instantly, and it really is instantly. And 8 seconds to boot and be in and working is amazing. That's just a great, great time.
I think they were trying to, at one point, get it down to 3 seconds. They've clearly not been able to do
that. No. Certainly in America, it's going to come with free 100 meg a month of mobile data, which isn't a lot, but it's free. No, so it's not to be sniffed at. It will really depend how the, and I think that's why they've made different, they made the changes tonight to, you know, the percentages that developers get. I think it's all about getting apps onto this platform. No, that's going
to
be the.
It's got to be. Again, this will live and die based on the apps that you can get into.
Yep. Because that's
web apps are important now.
Yeah. Oh, that's its only place. And I mean, the other announcement they've done today with web apps is that they've said from this summer, Gmail, Calendar, and Google Docs are all run offline. So there's lots of apps already running that are offline, but these are important ones from a Google perspective to get running.
They've got to be to make this a proposition. They want to turn this into a corporate device as well as an education device. And you cannot do that until such time as the main Office productivity suite is offline available. They've said they've been running it internally for a few months now, but they're nearly ready to release it to everyone, basically.
Yes, and they also announced, I mean, we've talked about those two prices. There's also two other options. There's Chromebooks for Education, Chromebooks for Business. Chromebooks for Education is a $20 a month subscription. Chromebooks for Business, $28 a month. And what this will do is you instead of paying for the upfront cost, you pay this monthly subscription, but that covers hardware, web console for multiple users, warranty replacement, support and hardware auto updates. So it's moving to a, don't worry about the hardware. You just give us your $28 a month and we'll keep you up to date.
Again, very Microsoft.
I think that's got a lot of promise. Yeah, I really do.
It's the same kind of idea as a phone. We're used to having monthly contracts. I wonder what happens, you know, there must be minimum terms, and I wonder whether they, when they're saying auto hardware updates, whether they mean, you know, are they talking about firmware or are they actually talking about physically getting a new laptop once every year or something?
And
hard to know.
I don't know. I mean, if I take my work as an example, we replace our hardware every 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got this kind of, I guess, this kind of same kind of deal with our hardware, you know, providers that desktops every 4 years, a rolling program just keeps on replacing. Laptops, it's every 3 years, apart from mine, which is now 3 years and 6 months.
Tut, tut.
Well, it's not a start. Everybody's, you're in IT, you get all the... No, I don't. This is the oldest laptop in the company now. Anyway.
There was a bit of sore point going on there, I think.
Yeah. So that's the 2 days of Google announcements so far. And I think it's a great set of announcements. I really do.
There's more going on. Last year, they were talking about Open, they were talking about WebM, they were talking about Android still. This year, there's actually a lot more going on, it seems. They've
and
spread
also,
their wings a little bit more.
Last year, I remember it for... See, when I looked at the blogs after the keynotes, they mostly focused on the 5 or 6 snarky Apple comments that they made. And, oh, look, we'll show you getting online with your iPad, which doesn't have 3G, via your Android device, which can tether, which your iPhone can't. Yeah. And it was all focused on that. And I'm kind of glad that there seems to be none of that just now. They just said, here's what we're doing. You know, let's crack on. And I think it looks really good.
Definitely. And I am going to sneak a look at the videos, I think.
The only disappointment, a lot of it is US focused. By year end, we'll have all this as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think.
Maybe not the movies, actually, because usually these kind of deals do take longer. But I think something like Google Music, where they've not got any ties to the record labels, I can see it.
Now they've decided they're not going to have the deals. There's no reason that they can't spread it out.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So, all good.
Indeedy.
And I'd love to say that's us for this week. But we've got a couple more stories. The next two are related. So Telegraph iPad app got updated last week. And it was one of the first to actually support the new Apple subscription model.
Not that anyone would ever want to buy such a terrible newspaper.
No. Did I talk to you about last week about Shaq talking about the Daily Mail app? Maybe I can't remember if I did. It rings a bell. It does look a really good app, but it gets really good reviews. it's not going on anywhere near my iPad.
No, it wouldn't matter whether it was the best app in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
You've had anything to do with the Daily Mail.
Yeah. So Telegraph is supporting Apple subscription models. So this is the lambasted model that everybody said, oh, yes, Nobody's going to sign up to that. Nobody's going to give up 30%. Well, Telegraph, and I think it's Hearst or Hearst is the actual owner of Telegraph, and it's all the other magazines that they do. They were one of the first to break cover and say, no, we're going to support it. £1.19 for a single edition, or a tenner a month for a monthly subscription, which sounds all right.
Do you think how much is cover price of the Telegraph? It's probably about the same, isn't
well,
it?
I was thinking £1.19 means that surely is what how much one costs. Can you speak while I Google?
I'm not sure. multitasking across borders.
Did you say across borders?
Like, yeah.
Do you think I'm in a different country?
Yeah, you are.
What a cock. Honestly.
So,
I've got a story from 2009 where the cover price went to £1.
All right, okay.
So I'm guessing £1.20 sounds probably about right.
Okay. Ah, there we go.
So a tenner a month sounds all right.
Yeah. Still more than I would expect to pay for a digital edition. Especially if it's still got adverts in it. If it hasn't got adverts, maybe not.
The interesting thing is they've said that if you're a newspaper subscriber, instead of paying separate subscription for the digital, you now just get digital for free. So if you're paying for the paper version, you can sign up on the iPad and get the digital stuff for free.
But you can't just have but you can't get it any cheaper just having digital only, though.
No.
Which is surely something they should be encouraging, really, you would have thought, in today's environments.
I think it's definitely a step forward, because the model we've had up to now, and I think I've covered it before with, I take Wired UK as an example, the cover price is £4. So you can do your, if you bought it in the shops, you're £48 a year. I'm paying £24 subscription a year, so it's £1.99. But to get the digital version, even though I'm a subscriber, I can't get it. I've got to pay for it again, and I've got to pay double the price I pay
for
the paper.
Which you're not going to do, yeah.
No, I bought it the first one just to make, wanted to try it out.
See what it's like, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'm not going to do that from now on. So Telegraph Media Group, they're agreeing to the 30% that Apple gets as well.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a standoff. We had a bit of a standoff for a while, but this is obviously, it's broken. Someone's twitched, basically, because you know how many people are using iPads, and they want a bit of that pie.
And I do wonder, do you think they were waiting to see how successful the first Android tablets were?
No, I don't think they were waiting for that. I think they were waiting to see whether they could make Apple budge. There was probably talks going on in the background.
Maybe. I just wondered if they were like, just say, I don't know, the Honeycomb tablets sold like, 5 million in the same time that the iPads were selling. They would have thought, well, hold on, Apple's not the only game in town.
Yeah, maybe, and that would have given them more leverage. I think waiting for an Android tablet, we're a bit premature. I think, the day will come when they are the most popular tablets, I think. Big statement, though.
So,
about a year away.
Telegraph did it, and Condé Nast have also done the same. So they announced on Monday that its New Yorker title, if you pay, and again, this is all American prices, but if you're paying the annual subscription for the iPad app was $60. But if you're paying for the $70 for the paper version, you can get the iPad versions for free. So very similar deal to what Hearst. So it looks like they've been in talks with Apple, and then they're starting to roll out these updates to their apps.
Yep.
So if you subscribe to the paper one, you get a digital one for free. So definitely a step forward.
And I was going to say, because that wasn't, they didn't want that to happen, did they, at one point?
No. No.
So actually, there has been some movement, which is good.
Definitely. So it's only New York at the moment, but this is extending out to the other titles, including Wired, over the coming. And they said, the article I read said month, and I'm sure it means to say months.
Yes, maybe. So you'll be looking for that announcement anyway.
Yes. Seemingly, there's also been a slight budging from Apple in some of the terms as well. Apple is still controlling the subscriber information. And they will allow Condé Nast to ask for name, zip, and email, but they're given the publisher two chances to ask for it. So they can ask for it at the opt-in screen. And previously, if they said no, that was it. Apple were saying, well, you can't ask again. You've asked them. People have said no. but they've given them a bit of flexibility and says, well, you can go and ask for it again later on if you're wanting to put in mail and a password to get exclusive content. And I also believe there's a bit of flexibility in pricing than Apple originally wanted. So it's I think it's definitely a move forward.
But the concessions were relatively minor considering how much people were against them. And I think still a lot of people are against the and that's why you haven't seen a lot of movement. But I guess people will now wait and see how successful these two are.
Exactly.
Move on.
And it's interesting, the sales, I don't think the sales sound very good, but when you compare how many iPads are to how many newsstands there are, maybe they're actually looking, the sales are looking very good indeed. So it's hard to say.
Indeed.
A kind of worrying security issue last week. LastPass was one of these kind of all-in-one, store all your security details, all your passwords, and we'll keep it nice and secure, and it'll follow you around all your different browsers and iPhone apps and all that kind of good stuff. They were looking into their systems, so looking into their back-end databases and on their network, and they found a couple of anomalies that they couldn't explain. So they issued out a warning to all their users, and they have forced all their users to reset their master password when they log in.
Basically, they saw more data going out of one of their databases than was being received at a server at the other end.
Yes.
Which they weren't sure why it was happening, and they're kind of intimating that someone might have been accessing data that they shouldn't have done. What they have said is that all their passwords were hashed, and therefore not human readable. Yet, obviously, if people haven't used a strong password, which they should, they would be subject to dictionary attacks, effectively. But it sounds, when we compare it to the PlayStation story of last week,
it's not
still ongoing. No. First of all, they don't know that they've been hacked. Secondly, they responded straight away. They've responded in the right way, reset everything. And also, there's no actual real evidence to suggest that they have actually been hacked. So, again, they've kind of done the right things to keep your faith in them. I don't know if you felt the same.
So. Oh, no, absolutely. There's certainly a view on a lot of websites that, well, you're a fool to put all your passwords in one place.
Yes, protecting all your passwords by one password, then you're only as strong as that one password is the argument, isn't it?
Yes. And certainly, I mean, I think they also took a bit of flack in their own support forums because people were struggling to log in because they'd forced this reset. But what else could they do? To me, they've done the right thing.
It is the right thing. I mean, it's the one thing that they obviously, if they weren't set up like this, then you'd ask big questions. And I'm sure there are, single password services which don't take this much effort.
And but I'm sure
monitoring in and out data is pretty,
see
pretty
if
low. You know,
seeing their own internal risk register of what could possibly go wrong.
Yes, this one is top of the list.
Having to come out publicly and say, by the way, we might be hacked and hence we want you to reset your main master password. It's like,
fair enough. But like I say, I think you can never 100% guarantee that people can't hack in. There's always one weakness somewhere. And the fact that they've not been PlayStation, reticent about that, that's...
And I take my hat off to them and, things like 1Password and KeyPass, whatever you use to not only store your passwords more securely, but these services encourage you to use random passwords, use different passwords for each of your logins, which you should be doing. A lot of people don't.
Not when they do it individually, they won't be as random as these services are. And so they do explain in great length, that you shouldn't use... real words and things like that for your master password and stuff like that.
Although, did you see the research that was done that said if you string together 3 words with spaces, it's far more secure than a 10-digit random set of characters and alphas and symbols?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
I'll need to dig that out.
How is that?
I'll dig it out. There was a whole of maths behind it about why it is harder to crack.
Well, there you go.
I must dig it out. It was really good reading for us geeks. Obviously, it's just me and you.
Yeah.
Everybody else is just like, sod that.
I'll read it at the same time as we're watching the...
the Apprentice.
No, the keynotes.
We've not even mentioned The Apprentice yet.
How exciting. I thought I wasn't going to be up for this. It was too soon to the last one. But actually, I am well up for it.
Oh, The Apprentice, you mean?
Yes.
I thought of you last night.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Because he's short.
When the guy says, but you know, I was the smallest. I burst out laughing at that. I was like, don't vote me off, I'm the smallest.
You may have called me a cock earlier, but he's far more of a cock.
I don't think I called you a cock, did I?
Oh, I think you did.
What, tonight?
Yeah.
I don't think I did. I think you just feel like a cock, and hence you think I've called you.
You'll have to listen back.
Well, I will be. But of course, I could edit out and make you look like a fool.
Okay.
Anyway, the spirit of Sir Clive Sinclair is still alive. He's still alive anyway, but that kind of mad British entrepreneurial spirit is still alive. David Brabham. Now, I know who he is, and you probably know who he is because you're a bit of a gamer. But he was a guy with, I can't remember the other chap's name who did it, but he was the guy behind Elite back in 1982 or 84. Can't remember. I think it was 84.
Loved Elite.
Oh, Elite was class.
Docking was a nightmare, though, until you got the docking computer. Heady BBC Micro days.
Oh, this is a time when you Spotify, so instead of us humming, we can just actually call out the tune and play it. I need to man up and get that sorted. Anyway, this has turned into a bit of a random chat now.
Yeah,
Brabham, he's designed Raspberry Pi. So it's a tiny USB stick PC. It's got an HDMI port on one end and a USB port on the other. So you plug the HDMI socket into a screen, monitor, TV, and then put a keyboard on the other end. And you've got a PC to run Linux. And the cost is
$25. $25. And it's not like it's a complete waste of space either. It's got an ARM processor in, running at 700 megahertz. It's got 128 mega RAM. And it's also got OpenGL on it, which is bonkers. They reckon it can output full 1080p.
Yep. And it's got an SD card slot as well.
if you see the pictures of this, it is absolutely tiny. The biggest thing about it is the USB port, basically.
I think it's got more ports than a MacBook Air.
It has. You're probably right.
It's not. And but it's not far off.
Yeah. And none of them are proprietary.
Oh, see, I let that slide last week when you put that in about Thunderbolt. I'm going to ram my two Thunderbolt ports right up your backside when I get my new Mac.
Well, I was going to say MacBook. Them on the backside because you're not going to have any hardware to put them into.
By the time my iMac comes, there will be. Maybe.
Allegedly.
We'll do that in a minute. That may be my pick.
But they're going to... so this little microcomputer is bonkers small and it's going to run basically Linux. So Ubuntu probably looks likely. So you can run all your Office applications and stuff. And his philosophy behind it is to try and get people interested in programming again and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, so and that's why I mentioned the kind of Sinclair side of things. It's to get, you know, make it so cheap and it's, he primarily sees it in education. And, you know, starting next year, he wants to distribute this through the Raspberry Pi Foundation. but I thought, fair play.
Imagine having we get USB sticks on our key rings right now.
Yeah, it'll be a PC.
Well, you can carry a whole PC around with you on your key ring.
It is amazing. I thought it was superb. The link will be in the show notes. When you see the actual photo, it's just, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And fair play. I mean, he's never really done a game as good as Elite.
I don't think you ever had to.
Bernard, did you play Frontier?
No.
Oh, dear. I remember all the screenshots.
Roller Coaster Tycoon. I didn't play that either.
And he was it. It's his company that's behind the that Kinect game with the cute animals.
Kinectimals.
Oh, how they might have fallen. Well, I just want Elite for now, for today.
Didn't they try and we random talking again?
No. That's why I wanted to try that Eve Online. I just thought that's maybe the closest thing.
Might be, yeah.
Anyway, that's all the news.
It is. That's amazing. Seeing as we don't have any picks.
Well, my pick is that I've bought a new iMac.
Yes. You must be very excited.
I am, but my I'm trying to remember the saying. My powder's been whatever. I can't remember.
Damp. I don't know.
Dampened powder? I don't know. So iMac's on its way, but it's going to take 46. In fact, I've got a delivery date of June 24th.
And pray tell, why are you having to wait 4 to 6 weeks when surely the maximum you should have to wait is a week?
Because I've put an SSD in it. So basically, if you flip the switch on an SSD, it goes from 5 days to 6 weeks.
Yes, yeah, so basically, if you buy one of their standard models, which they advertise on the homepage, you can get it sort of next day almost, can't you?
Well, you could. Well, I could have went into the Apple Store in Glasgow and just got one.
Yes,
but you can't. You can't do like build to order.
You can't customize your order, yeah, which obviously you want to do, really. So you've basically gone for the Whopper, haven't you?
27-inch.
Whopper with everything.
3.4 gigahertz i7. What else did I change? So I put the SSD in. So it's a 256 SSD with a 1 terabyte SATA. 2 gig graphics card. And it's all for Minecraft.
Absolutely.
Just imagine full screen Minecraft. Bring it. I might even join your secret server.
Full screen, low res.
Maybe
Minecraft.
We should set up a digital outbox Minecraft server.
Hey, we probably should.
That sounds the business. So yeah, quite looking forward to that.
That's going to be good. He knows it. I'm quite jealous, really.
I'll make the bold decision as well. I'm not going to just migrate all my user settings off. I'm going to start from scratch, which will probably be painful for a few days, but then I'll be like loving it.
When's Lion out?
Well, nobody knows. I guess we'll know mid-June once the...
You've probably just got yourself set up and all your stuff and then it'll be released.
Yeah. Oh, the only thing I didn't do, I didn't put any RAM in it. It's only come with 4 gig because to go to 8 gig was 160 quid or I could buy 8 gig for 60 quid from Crucial.
You could buy 16 gig for not a lot more, couldn't you?
Well, you can buy 16 gig for the same price as buying 4 from Apple.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'll just buy 8 for the moment. But, well, I'm saying that. I see Tam's picked up a new iMac and he's put 16 gig in it, so I feel it would be childish for me not to match that. And then
you have got to ask, are you doing a lot of video editing and photo shopping?
I do a lot of photo.
You'd have to
things.
Do a lot of photos to get up through 16 gig.
Minecraft.
Yep.
And at this point you go, but Ian, Minecraft only uses one port. Yeah. Just the same way you did last night. You really did go. You were like, it only uses one core, and it only uses this RAM, and it's Java, Ian. And And I was just like,
Can everyone tell it's gone 10 o'clock now? It's past Ian's bedtime.
You're damn tooting. I'm up at 10 to 6 tomorrow morning.
There you go.
I'm hosting. It's up to me, isn't it?
Yeah,
I need to wrap this
bad
up.
Boy down.
Yeah. So I hope She's you like those blow. Picks. I think that's one of the best ones ever. But yeah. If you want to find out more about us, you know what? I think we really should do a digital outbox Minecraft server.
Let's do it.
That would be cracking. Anyway,
I want to go to bed as well.
Have you eaten tonight?
No.
What? Are you going to fade away?
No, I'm not.
That's not a lie.
I'm going to go make up for it now.
If you want to find out more about us and our Minecraft server, digitaloutbox.com. You can email us, info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter at Digital Outbox, and we're on Skype at Digital Outbox. Use it while you can, because there ain't no way I'm going to use it when Microsoft take it over. And also, you'll find a really informative show notes on the website as well. I'm pleased to say that after 84 episodes, somebody actually emailed me and congratulated me about the show notes.
There you go.
I felt.
I've looked at them twice, I think.
Tam used to look at them, used to correct my mistakes. It's great. He'd email me and say, in your show notes, Ian, why haven't you put the link in for that article? Oh, Tam. To find out more about me, indie.net is a blog, and I'm on Twitter as Shweepa. Chris.
I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK.
Thanks for listening to this bad boy. We'll see you again soon.
See you later. Bye.
I'm just going to call this the random show.
That you should. What happened?